as I was doing more and more research, people who don't know they have ADHD or are not diagnosed, they often find themselves in professions that are very high stress. Mm. So people who work in entertainment, in film, in the ER, in hospitals, driving ambulances, all have higher percentages of ADHD.
What?
Because what happens is when your body produces adrenaline and stress hormones, chemically speaking, the structure is very similar to the structures of ADHD medication.
Uh-huh. Welcome everybody to the Asian Not Asian podcast, the podcast with all of your favorite Asian friends. It's one of your best Asian friends, Mike Nguyen.
And I'm your other best friend, Jenny Arimoto.
And we're wondering, why haven't you texted us back?
Yeah, what the hell?
Dude, I thought we were homies and I thought you were going to come through to when I was DJing the other night. and Jenny DJ together.
Yeah, and our set started at 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
Why weren't you there?
We weren't, you know.
I'm actually pissed. I'm here to confront you.
I'm super, and you know our DJ thing where you do one of the turntables and I do the other.
And it's really disorganized.
So bad. And the music never matches.
Never matches. I'm playing a lot of folk over here.
I'm playing a lot of Encanto. Oh, man. But it's okay. We forgive you. And thank you for joining us. It is a very rainy day, but we brave the elements in order to come out here and hang out with you. And we're so excited to get into this. And before we get started, Jenny and I, we are going to invite you. We're not going to DJ at this thing. But September 30th. We're going to be at the New York City's second annual Mid-Autumn Festival. That's Saturday, September 30th. We're going to be doing a comedy show. Young Mi Mayer is going to be there. Dan Yang, Lee Allen Lan, and others are going to join us. It's going to be pretty fun. Tickets are available at Eventbrite if you search under New York City Mid-Autumn Festival 2023. You can also check out the Instagram account at Mid-Autumn Fest to make sure you get the right one. There's going to be a full day of programming there. So we'll be on, I think our show is at 6 o'clock. We should probably
somewhere
know.
Somewhere around there.
But around there, around 6 o'clock. If you go to do, check out the programming, you'll see us and we're there. But there's other things too. There's dance performers, a self-defense workshop, which is pretty badass.
Need that.
A lantern lighting and a night market. It's all AAPI artists and creators. Again, Saturday, September 30th. All ticket proceeds are going to a fundraiser for Choi Commons, an all Asian American farming collective. Oh man, that sounds really fun. That supplies and supplies produce to New York City restaurants and nonprofits. Please come out. Again, the Instagram for that is at Mid Autumn Fest. Is Mid Autumn Fest a big thing in Japan?
No,
it's not.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I've never heard of it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty big Southeast Asian. Well, maybe it's a big Chinese thing.
Maybe.
And so, because we got everything from Chinese people, Vietnamese people did.
Yeah.
Because, the biggest thing is we have a big Mid-Autumn Fest, and, we eat the, there's, a cake you eat that has, lotus seed in it.
Mm.
Aw,
that
shit.
Sounds really good.
Yo, as soon as I know.
I wish we had Mid-Autumn Fest. That sucks.
God, I mean, go for some lotus cake. Yeah. White people are not on on lotus cake. They're on White Lotus.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But they're not on lotus cake.
They're eating angel food cake on White Lotus, the TV show written by Mike White.
And paying $10 for it.
Yeah.
They're not at the Mid-Autumn Fest.
No.
Mm-mm. They're not
missing out.
They're not celebrating the harvest.
Uh-uh.
You know?
They don't even understand.
You guys even know about the harvest. You guys are always talking about farm to table. And you guys are never at the Mid-Autumn Fest. Where are you guys at?
Yeah. They're just at their bougie little restaurants in Williamsburg. What energy is this that we're bringing?
I don't know.
Immediately, it's a weird vibe.
It's a weird one, but it's a good one.
It's a good weird.
It's a good one. I'm real excited. Real quick too, if you are enjoying the content, please consider contributing to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod, and we do all sorts of stuff like give you shout outs, and that's really it. But that's a really fun thing we do. Again, that's patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. And also, because I think people have forgotten, please leave a review. If you're listening to us on Spotify, you can leave a review. I think it's called a Q&A, whatever the hell. You can also subscribe to us. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us 5 stars and leave a comment. We haven't had a nice review in a little while. And it really helps. I swear to God, it really does. I was just telling everybody before that the podcast bubble has imploded.
Yeah.
And there's only 5 podcasts left.
And somehow we are still here.
It's us and Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
and Girls Gotta Eat.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Normal Gossip. And Normal Gossip. Trying to get on.
And like the New York Times Daily.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only podcast. So it would be really good if you guys could leave a review. Tell your friends. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think those are all the announcements. What do you think?
I think that is it. I just remembered something.
Yeah.
Which is when I listened to the episode that I wasn't on with you and Fumi, the Boys Night episode.
Oh, yes.
Boys Day? Boys
yes.
Night?
Boys Night.
And I got called out in the middle of the episode. I mean, I got called out multiple times, but there was literally a point where you guys started talking about cars, and I was full zoning out because I don't know anything about cars, nor do I care.
Yes.
And Fumi said, Jenny's probably not even listening anymore. As I was fully not paying attention anymore, and I laughed out loud, because I wasn't paying attention anymore. And I texted Mike and I said, I cannot believe I got dragged.
Yep.
Because I fully wasn't paying attention.
That's
I don't know anything
here.
About cars or gas per mile
per gallon.
Per gallon.
That's like our favorite thing.
I don't know anything.
You listened to the whole thing then? Because
I did.
We don't
I listened
talk about
to the whole
that
thing.
Until the pretty much the end. Like the last like maybe 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, I wanted to know about Fumi's. I like felt so much FOMO until it got to the car part. And I was like, I don't need to be a part of this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if I was there, I would have been like, enough. How do you feel about
how do you
the
feel
efficiency
about
of the car?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What does miles per gallon mean
to
your
Why
Virgo
do you think you're,
sign?
You care so much?
What, is it because you're a Sagittarius or whatever? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I also got dragged. I'm not a Sagittarius, but I'm a Sagittarius rising. But yeah, I got dragged for that too.
Yeah,
like
Jenny
would have been like, is this car an Aries? Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, is this car an Aries? Yeah, man. I would definitely buy it. And Aries, from what I know of astrology, it sounds like an Aries car wouldn't have good miles per gallon.
It'd be stubborn.
It'd be really stubborn?
Yeah, and it would get into fights.
Really?
Yeah, very fiery.
Oh, this is like definitely...
Oh, our guest is... Okay, but I love Aries.
Okay.
Because I'm a fire sign.
And that's
all
like,
my best friends have been Aries.
So wait, my son is an Aries, right?
Yeah, that's literally when Neo was born. I was like counting and I was like, Aries, we're going to be friends. I'm obsessed with him.
He is stubborn. He's getting more stubborn. He's getting more Aries-y.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're very like confrontational and like.
Are they?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
In a cool way. I think that's
cool. I'm not confrontational. I wish I was.
No, because you're a Virgo. You're cool and you're practical.
Oh,
you're chill.
I'm the minivan. No wonder I want a Subaru.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You're a Subaru.
No wonder I want a Subaru. the Virgo of cars. All right, let's bring our guest on.
Enough of that.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. We can talk to them about their signs.
So. Yes.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, I'm doing the intro.
Yeah.
Okay, our guest is, well, one, a friend of mine that I met at the Joyride premiere.
Yeah.
But she's awesome. She's a costume and production designer. She costume designed season 3 of Awkwafina's Nora from Queens, the movie Theater Camp, which I watched last night. Fantastic.
Amazing.
Shiva Baby. And then most recently, the off-Broadway play that went kind of viral on TikTok called Job. And it's currently running at the Soho Playhouse.
Whoa.
Please welcome to your ears, Michelle Lee.
Hello.
Welcome. Hey. Also, I forgot to mention she's a pink-haired Asian.
Pink-haired Asian.
Yeah, for those who are not watching the video.
Yeah, if you're watching YouTube, you know.
Is that like a brand of Asian?
Yeah.
Well, it's because I mentioned it before you came in. I was like, oh, Michelle has pink hair. And then Mike went, oh, a pink-haired Asian. Well, I used to be a pink-haired Asian. You know?
It's true. There are many of us.
Yeah.
I'm like, you say that, and I know exactly what kind of Asian.
Well, hold on. There are or aren't?
There are.
Oh, there are.
Yeah. Although, I will say, like, of the pink-haired Asians that I know, they've all transitioned out of pink hair. It's like, they have, like, dyed
moved
their
on
hair.
To their
yep, they've
next
moved
phase.
On, but I'm still
what are
progressing
they on now?
In the past, you know? they dyed their hair back to being dark.
Oh, just
normal.
Like
it happens. It happens.
Yeah.
We talked about this before.
Yeah.
I was like, there's like the journey of an Asian going to either blonde or like a colored hair Asian, but then there's the next kind of journey of them returning to their natural hair.
Whoa.
Coming back home.
And that's a different like next character development moment in
yes.
life.
Is there, I want to get into, first of all, you're an Aries?
I am an Aries. I'm an Aries Pisces cusp.
I see.
I'm a cuspy.
But that's Neo too.
Oh.
March.
Okay. So Is he the same Aries Pisces?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he's also Cusp.
All right.
Are you Korean too?
I am Chinese.
Okay.
But I did grow up in a very Korean neighborhood. Like, I went to a Korean preschool and a Korean nursery school.
Oh, okay.
Where'd you grow up?
In Douglaston. So, like, the Bayside Little Neck area.
Okay. You keep saying it's words, like, I don't know where.
It's like the suburbs of Queens.
Oh, okay.
They're like 15 minutes away from Flushing.
Okay. I see.
Amazing. Clearly, awesome. We're from California.
There is an interesting thing. I've only been to Queens, out to Flushing, especially a few times. But it's like I didn't expect there to be a big Korean and Chinese mixing thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's so interesting because I feel like when I was growing up, it caused a lot of like identity confusion and identity politics because there's like, there is a sort of like in-group, out-group, you know, when you're like in middle school and like, at least when I was growing up, I was like, oh, all the cool people are like Korean. And so it was like, oh my gosh, I want to be Korean. And I mean, it made me think a lot about it because like, I'm sure you guys have all seen Beef.
Yeah.
And like, there's that one cultural interaction between like the character that Joseph plays where he realizes like, oh, they're Japanese. It is like those like intercultural nuances that
totally
up.
Whoa. So did you want to be, because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think for me, because I was Vietnamese, and like there was,
did you say I was Vietnamese?
I was no longer. Now that I'm married a Korean woman, I'm Korean. But when I was growing up, I felt like I wanted to be more East Asian. Because there was a pecking order for sure. There was like a couple of Vietnamese people in the real Asian group, right? And then I was sort of like, me and the Cambodians were sort of like hanging out on the outside. And we're just like, hey guys, can we like play basketball
here
too? Like, we couldn't afford like the nice Vans and the Gap khakis, and so they were like, you know, there was like the East Asians were a little bit more well-to-do.
I totally know what
you mean.
What
I'm saying?
It's like the Koreans rule the schoolyards. You know, they were the ones playing on the handball courts. Afraid to like walk
That's
around.
So funny.
Yeah. So, but no, I'm Chinese, and my 23andMe told me that I am also.
Oh, you did 23andMe.
I did, and now the government has all of my information.
All that info. Yep.
Probably something bad will happen to me.
For sure.
But they also told me that I have roots in Japan, and my great great grandmother is Japanese.
Wow!
Oh, wow! Shit.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
How come you did 23andMe? Were you just curious?
Yeah, I was just like, well, you know, it's either going to tell me that like I'm 110% Chinese.
Yeah.
Or it's going to tell me that like I'm just a mix of other kinds of Asian people.
Right, right.
Because I have this one family photo that I was looking at from like, you know, albums. And there's this one cryptic picture where it's, I think it's like maybe the late 1800s or like early 1900s, and I think it was like my Japanese great great grandmother, like, or great great great, it was her wedding photo. Was her, and then like she was marrying this other Asian guy, presumably Chinese, but then there's also like a Dutch family in the picture, and then there's like little Asian babies, like toddlers in Dutch clothing. I was like, whoa, there's like a faction of the family that like went to Holland.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And so I was like, I'm gonna do a 23andMe test.
That's so interesting. That also was a storyline in Nora from Queens, and when he's like part Iceland, Bowen's character is like
when
part
Bowen
Icelandic,
goes to Iceland.
When he goes to Iceland.
Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah.
That was the first episode that we shot of the season, and it was crazy because it shot in Iceland.
Yeah.
And like,
so you went out to Iceland. And
I unfortunately did not get picked. I was not one of the lucky people to go to Iceland, but I sure wanted to.
I did see that shot, and I was like, or like that part when they're in there, and I was like, I feel like people just want to go to Iceland.
It was a
thing. Worked on the show.
It was like a pandemic thing for a little while, to go to Iceland, because it was like, they, you know, you can go there and like social distance because it's fucking Iceland.
Iceland is amazing.
Know? Yeah.
I have been twice. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. I've never been. I would love to.
Yes, it sounds. Is that the new Asian spot, everybody?
Yeah.
Forget Korean barbecue. We're going to Iceland.
I mean, we're everywhere. You cannot escape.
It's
us.
True. It's true.
The question I was going to ask you is, you know, you're like a cool production assistant Asian. And so is there, because I was tracking for a while, like there was like the blonde haired Asian era. And then there was sort of, I don't know where we are now. We're sort of in a liminal space, but like, you know, there's like the pink. And I was wondering if there's like the next color. Is there, you know, can you forecast the next color for us?
So, I did have a blonde phase.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that was the color preceding the hair that I have right now.
Oh, of course, I know. It's just like how a star is born. You know what I'm saying?
It's like evolution. It's like a caterpillar going into its chrysalis and becoming a butterfly.
Yeah.
You know, like there is no other logical step forward. But I've actually had this hair color for almost 8 years.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Yes. But I did have a little bit of a hair identity crisis during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck it. I'm dyeing half my head purple.
Whoa.
And half my head pink. And I did, and I was so off kilter for a few months, and I was like, I'm going back to pink.
It just wasn't you.
It wasn't me. You know, I lost a part of myself, and I had to find it again.
Okay,
so
that's beautiful.
I'm back home. This is me being back home.
Oh. Wow.
I'm gonna be like, I'm trying to pull like a Yayoi Kusama, where I'm just gonna die. I mean, she's still alive, but I'm just gonna like, you know, keep living.
Yes.
Until I dive with the same hair color.
You're gonna find
beautiful.
You're gonna like find us like 1,000 years or 10,000 years from now, and like find your like skeleton that's got a pink hair.
Oh yeah,
they're,
be,
they're not gonna. They're gonna be like, yo, these Icelandic Asians are like.
I mean, like bury me in a pink wig.
Yeah,
like, my corpse will be fabulous.
That's awesome.
I love that. I'm like trying to figure out what to do next with my hair to feel something.
Yeah. You were talking about it to me when we saw each other the other day.
Yeah, it's truly, I don't know what my next step is going to be.
Mm.
I'm trying to feel joy again. Not that I'm not feeling it, but I was like, I want to do something.
That's like partially the reason why my hair is this color.
Just to feel something.
I feel you did a perm for a while. I mean, you had the perm. Are you going to
permed right now?
Yeah, are you going to keep that going?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Japan, so I can do something.
Oh.
You know?
Go to Japan and see what are they up to.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I always leave and come back and feel a little bit more Japanese. Like, I look Japanese when I come back. Because I, like, go to the hair salon there.
Yeah.
I, like,
you get
buy
pants.
A bunch of clothes. Yeah. I'm always in, like, different pants. And you're like, whoa, nice pants. And I'm like, yeah, I bought in Japan.
Because they have the inseam that's, like,
that's
10
like,
inches long.
Yeah, 10 inches long.
Squirrel pants.
They fit my legs, finally.
Dang. That's awesome. When are you going to?
In like a month.
Hmm. Where are you going to be? You're going to be in
just
Tokyo.
Mm. Oh, I'm really announcing it. I didn't even think about it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess my sister was like, why don't you just like ask to see if like some listeners are there if they want to like
100%
hang out.
Our listeners.
So maybe
are there.
It's okay that I'm saying it.
Yeah. It's up to you. I can cut it out. But also there 100% when I've told you the story. When I was there, I did a show and a listener came.
That's right.
Japan. Whoa. And this was like the show was pretty new at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Bro.
Wow. So maybe
and
like,
still, like
let me, maybe DM me if you're in Tokyo and you won't murder me.
Yes. No murderers.
No murderers allowed. And that's a hard rule I'm putting out there.
There's a murderer in Japan. He's just like,
dang it.
No murderers.
Yeah. I can't cross that boundary.
I'm still a Patreon subscriber.
I'll still give her my money.
Yeah. Michelle, we wanted to talk, I think, a little bit about what you do.
Yeah.
As
sure.
like a cool pink haired Asian.
Yeah.
And I don't know, where do you want to start? Like, you're a costume designer?
Yes, I primarily costume design. I have done a little bit of production design in the past, and I still do it, like, every now and then, although I'm, like, super selective.
Oh, production design. Excuse me. I said production assistant. My bad.
Oh, no. All good. I was also a PA not yet 4 years ago.
Whoa.
So,
like, everybody got to start that way.
Everyone's got to start somewhere. So, I've done a little bit, but I do mainly production costume design, and I figured it out because on the projects that I like have production designed, I've like looked over my shoulder at the costume designers and they're like having so much fun with the
actors. Really?
And I'm like feeling dejected. I mean, having a great time production designing too. Because
what is production design?
Okay, thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Production design, technically they are the individual who is like responsible for the visual world and like language of a piece. And
that's
so like they have influence over what the overarching color palette might be, like themes and arc and stuff like that. But I think like if you want to make it into layman terms, like they design the sets.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they design the environment and the world building, and then like costume designers, obviously like we create the character.
That's mm-hmm. cool. That's shit.
It's so cool.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you like get into doing that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I never knew that this was what I was going to be doing when I was like growing up.
Word?
I did not know anybody who worked in entertainment.
Yes.
I don't know what
I mean.
Yeah. I was like, people fucking do this.
Yeah.
Like you can
This doesn't sound like a real job.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. And like, you know, with immigrant parents, this is definitely not the top of their list for their kid pursuing.
Yeah.
So before I became a costume designer, I totally thought I was going to become a studio painter or a graphic designer, like all the other Asians.
Right.
That's like as close to being an artist as you can be.
Exactly.
Did you go to art school?
So I applied to art school. I was looking at, you know, during college applications, like I visited SAIC. I was looking at RISD. I went to Pratt Pre-College for their painting program.
Oh, wow.
But I technically only applied to one college, and it's the college I went to. I went to Carnegie Mellon.
Okay. Ballsy.
Yeah,
very ballsy.
Respect.
Yeah. So
no
it's
backup
plan.
I literally cannot relate at all.
Yeah, me either.
I had a million backup plans.
So many backup plans.
I was like, fuck it. You know, it's early decision.
I'll go to Clown College. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna apply to one school and like save all this money and app fees.
Yeah.
And I got into their school of drama. And it's funny because like when I applied, I had no idea their like reputation for having
it's a great school.
A very prestigious program for drama. I was just like, oh yeah, if I go there and I don't like their drama program, I'll transfer out into the School of Art. It's all good. And so like, I had no clue. But
You didn't have to submit like an audition. Solo.
I did have to I had to have an audition like with my portfolio. And so like, I had to go on campus and I brought like, you know, 4x5 foot paintings with me and like, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it was interesting because their interview process, they don't like ask you about your portfolio like you would have expected.
Mm. Really?
They ask you like personal questions about what you are like as a human.
Oh,
which I was like not prepared for.
I mean, I think too, that's like not only that, but just like, I assume you were like 18 or 17 when you went.
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows what the fuck that even means?
I couldn't have answered that until
I would have been I like Backstreet Boys. Yeah. Like, you know? Like,
right.
That's crazy.
And so it was really intimidating, but I went and I loved it. And I just like what kept me there was just like, you know, being able to work on world building and creating these characters and stories. It just felt so fun.
So hold on. So you went to school and then the drama school you went to, you studied that or did you like act?
So it's a conservatory program. And so like, I didn't take any gen eds. I like only studied costume design. I went to trade school basically.
Whoa.
I
mean,
to become
cool.
a costume designer.
So you went in knowing you wanted to do costume design, or you just went into the school and then you're like, I guess I'll do costume design
classes. The way that the design and production program is structured are like the class sizes are super, super small. I was a class of like, I think like 25 people.
Oh my God.
And like that included like all different kinds of designers, stage managers, production managers, technical directors. And then like you take all the same classes for your first year and a half. And then in sophomore year, you like decide what your major is. And then you like specify your discipline.
Got it.
Yeah. And so I did this fashion show as a freshman called Lunar Gala.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I designed a collection during my first year there as like a test. I was like, I've never done clothing in my life.
Yeah.
Would this be something I'm interested in? And I was like, yeah, this is kind of cool. And so I declared my major as costumes. And so that's how I like ended up in costumes.
Like, that's awesome though. So that's like what life is.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm amazed that, because usually the people we know who go into entertainment, they were like, I was a lawyer first, and I went to law school, and I have a degree from Harvard Business School, and then I got drunk one day, and I went to an open mic, and now I'm a writer, and I wrote Joyride.
Right.
You know, like that's usually the path. But you actually went to school, and now you are actually working in the field.
I'm using my degree.
I know, that's
You're
beautiful.
Using your degree.
My
that's
parents
amazing.
Are so proud.
I can't believe it. I feel like now you should like go the other way. Like you have a degree in costume design.
And you're, then
like,
you go to the Supreme Court.
Yes, exactly. I work at Deloitte. I'm a math, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, would I be taken more seriously or less seriously if like that happened?
I have no, I mean,
You probably have a book that you could publish
because
everyone
would
be like, this is so interesting.
It's a Barbie Supreme Court.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're looking at.
So did you design and construct the the outfits for this Luna Gala thing?
Yes, yes, whoa. I did. And it was psychotic. I would not do it again. I was like up
crazy.
Until like 4 a.m. because
oh my God.
The way that a conservatory structure works is like you have your normal classes
right.
from, you know, like 8 a.m. to like 4 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And then because it's fucking theater school, you are assigned to a production in which you have to work from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then I don't start my course load until after 10 p.m. And so like college was very intense for me, and I really view it like I was a fucking monk mm-hmm. locked away at the top of a snowy monastery in Tibet.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
it's like
crazy.
I feel like if I had one regret in college is that I studied too hard. Mm. I worked too hard.
Wow.
I wish I went out more.
Sounds really intense.
Yeah, but I feel
yeah,
you.
Yeah, typical Asian behavior. Cool
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We went to our stupid state school, and it was pretty chill, I think.
It was chill?
I don't know.
I was not chilling at all.
Oh, real? My
I
bad.
Feel the same way, that I was studying constantly, because I thought trick? I was maybe going to go to law school.
Oh, yeah, see?
Word.
The trick is to have bad grades.
I was like, I have to double major and minor and get a good grade point. At, but we were very different. You were doing cool things.
Yeah.
I was like reading readers.
Well,
about
like,
political science.
Right.
I mean, you probably have a lot more life skills. Like, I was learning how to, like, make a fucking hat, you know?
That's
I
way
was
more
like,
that's a life skill.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't know how to do that. I was like, I have to make, the other day I had to make a hat, and I was like, I don't know how to make a hat.
Oh my gosh, well, I want to see this hat now. I got to see this hat.
I couldn't make it. I was like, ah, I wish I had studied.
Yeah, what the hell?
There's no sociology degree program. There's no...
Glad
there was no
my,
class.
Yeah, I'm glad my major in media studies is paying off.
Yeah, I'd read a lot of Marxism, mm-hmm. you know, so I know about that.
Yeah.
But can't help me with my hat.
Yeah, can't
damn.
Build a hat.
Well, I can help you with your hat. Wow. So if you need help, I'm here for you.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's
so
awesome.
When you're building your, you know, you're in production mode, you're doing something with Norv from Queens, and you're trying to build like this thing. I mean, hey, you know, I love fashion, and it's, I know it's not the same thing, but you are, you know, trying to tell a story about who you are as a person,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to do that with the character. So, like, how do you start like doing those things? Like, what are the steps for you to do that?
So, I mean, of course, it all goes back to the script, mm. and I always like to think about costume design like you are the archaeologist mm-hmm. trying to excavate who this character is in their psychological realm.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so you're really having to like put yourself into the shoes of the character and think about like maybe what their routine is like. What was their mental state perhaps like before we like see them on mm-hmm. screen
yeah,
or like
yeah, yeah.
read what their dialogue is saying, and like what are other characters saying about that character? What is the character saying about themselves? So like whose version of the truth is like what's actually happening? And like how do they perceive themselves? So like a thought exercise that I like to do, or like, you know, share people into the insights of like what it might be like to costume design
mm-hmm.
is say character A, let's call her Frances. Mm-hmm. She is having a hard day, but she's a type of person where like when she's having a bad day, she puts on her power suit.
Ah.
Right? And so like what kind of a character are you trying to project onto the outside world? And so like those are also like the things I consider when I like start costume designing, but it's totally collaborative effort. You know, I speak to the design, like the director about it. Of course, I talk a lot with the actors about it too, because I really like involving their opinion.
Of course.
Because they have to bring the character to life.
Right.
And so
they have to feel like this is the thing this person would wear.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you have to win over their trust too. And so those are like the basic steps.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know if you've ever had this feeling before. I'm going to share a little thing that happened to me when I was in my late 20s and I was just about to move to New York. I had this stretch of a couple months where I would have what I learned are called racing thoughts. And if you know what that's like, it's basically like you have like a thought, like some sort of anxiety-driven thought where you feel... you know, something terrible is going to happen, or maybe you just are worried about something, and it would lead to the next thought. And it would also be very anxiety driven, and it would lead to another thought, and lead to another one. And you felt like you were almost like watching a movie, but like a scary movie of your own life. And it was something you just couldn't stop. And it was really, it got really to the point where I couldn't function sometimes. And if you've never had that, I hope you don't. But if you have had racing thoughts, it turns out one great way to make racing thoughts go away is to talk through them. Therapy gives you a place to do that. So you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. The therapy I did really helped me put a stop to the racing thoughts I had at the time. And I use what I learned in therapy to this day whenever I feel my thoughts are starting to get away from me and affect my life. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Asian today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Asian. Listen, I may have beautiful, ageless Asian skin, but when you get to be my age, you do worry about some things. You worry about things like thinning hair. And if you're worried about thinning hair, I want to tell you there's help. There's Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve hair growth, visible thickness, and visible scalp coverage for men and for women. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements use physician-formulated, natural, medical-grade ingredients. Their drug-free, patented technology provides consistent, reliable results. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Asian. Find out why over 3,500 healthcare professionals recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L.com, promo code Asian. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Asian.
It's so cool. Things I never think about. You know, like, man, you just like watch something and you're like, yeah,
yeah,
the world is there. And you're like, there's like so many people behind it building this world.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think about it from like a video game perspective.
Yeah.
Like a video game character's design is like, you know, as soon as you see them, like, you should be able to understand like, whatever, this person is a magic user or whatever,
totally,
you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Or like, this person is a nerd, or this person is inexperienced but really, really has a lot of heart, you know?
Yeah, and you have those archetypes that, like, you know, I think humans are just automatically categorical people who like patterns. And so making sure that, you know, even if you're trying to make it a more unique character with their style and whatnot, having these sorts of frameworks is useful for just, like, seeing who these people are. Whoa. At first glance.
Totally.
Whoa. I forgot, we didn't do... I want to keep this conversation going. Do we want to also do what kind of Asian we were this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I got a question that will transition us back into it once we do the thing.
Okay, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure.
Mike, what kind of Asian were you this week?
Oh, this is going to be related to what we're talking about.
Okay.
I was a blazer Asian.
Whoa.
I've got the blazer right here.
But you're always a blazer Asian, I guess, when it's colder.
So now, I do try to wear a lot of blazers. I love them. I think it's one of the garments, and someone's going to call me out for being a colonialist, but like, it's the garment that I think makes men look the best, because it's like, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, fitted to your body and in a certain way, and it's got like the things, mm-hmm. you know, and I do have some summer ones, but like, summer blazers are like linen, and they're lighter, and, you know, they're just like, you want some blazers, dog?
Yeah.
It's got to be wool.
Yeah.
It's got to be full canvas. It's got to be made of, like, whatever, horse hair. You can't be wearing horse hair in the summer.
No.
You're not a Viking. It's too hot. So I put them all away. And the other day, I bought this one. I get a lot of my blazers from, of course, Japan.
Woo!
Woo! There's this really great brand called Ring Jacket, and they make amazing clothes. A lot of suiting, and it's like, you can find them on eBay, and it's relatively affordable.
Okay.
Like, for what you get.
Yeah.
And so I bought this on eBay because it was my birthday, and so I bought this, and it came so fast.
The one that you're wearing right now?
The one, this one here.
This was your birthday present?
And the person who had this was just a Japanese me, because, like, even the sleeves are the same length, like, the right length.
I love that.
And it got here super fast, and I put it on, and I was like, this is great. And so, and I forgot, I was actually trying to think the other day, what are the blazers I have? Because I've put them away for like five months now. And I know I have this one, this like a kind of like a gun check one. I have this. I literally was scrolling through my phone, like into the past.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, in January. And then I saw this one I was wearing. And I usually wear my most fire outfits during Hack City.
That's right. Yeah.
Our stand-up comedy show, which is the second Friday of every month.
And I'll be there next time.
And you will be there next time. And that's where. So I was like looking at all those Hack City photos to see what my blazer was. Because I'll always wear my most fire blazer there. Uh-huh. So I actually can't remember if I have this other blue one or if I just made it up in my mind. There's this blue one I have in my mind, but I'm like, did I just try that on or do I actually own that? I don't remember.
Okay.
And I still have to go look in my closet.
Okay.
But I do have this other one. And so, you know, it's now finally summer. Well, not summer.
Fall.
Summer is going away and now it's fall.
Yeah.
And so now I can be a blazer.
I will say seeing you in layers again feels right.
It does.
Like whatever Groundhog Day is, it's like, yeah. Like it's like that for
yes,
you. It's
exactly.
Like I know it's fall again because Mike is wearing layers.
Yeah. This is me wearing this fleece is like how other guys grow beards.
Yeah.
You know, I can't grow
I mean,
a beard.
You look so cozy.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm a little hot, actually.
You are
booth
wearing,
is
it's,
hot.
It's also not that cold.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. But I'm like I'm the dude who's like, as soon as it's like the thermometer goes to 70, I'm like,
yeah,
scarf
you're
on.
Like, scarf, yeah.
Scarf.
You're like, wool blazer.
Wool blazer.
Yeah.
Horse hair.
Yeah.
Very California.
Is it?
It?
Oh, totally. 70 degrees.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We're getting dragged.
We're getting dragged. Dude, it's that's me, dude.
Okay.
I'm a blazer Asian. Who wants
Welcome
to go
back.
Next?
You want to? I can go next.
Jenny, what kind of Asian were you?
I was an up and up Asian.
Up and up?
Yes. Hmm. So, Michelle, because the episode hasn't come out yet. last episode, I got dumped on my way to the episode.
Oh yes.
Last Saturday, and so
I'm
I wasn't going to
so
talk about
sorry.
It, but I did end up talking about it.
Yep.
It's okay. As we talked about, I'm not that emotionally.
Yeah, yeah.
That emotionally hurt by it, but Monday. So I had like a busy weekend. I had a busy week. Like I was just out and about. So I just like was, you know, I talked about it a lot because that's how I process things. But then Monday, I just like spiraled a little bit in the morning where I was like, I'm going to die alone. And so I was just like, really?
Really?
Yeah. I feel like any rejection, it like hurts. It doesn't matter even if it's something you wanted or didn't want. It's like if you didn't have any say over the thing, it like sucks. Like
no,
it hurts.
I
like
hear that.
It's like getting laid off. I was like, I don't love this job, but I got laid off and that sucks.
Yep.
And it's like, is that a read on my value?
Sure.
So Monday morning, I started a little bit spiraling where I was like, I'm going to die alone, maybe. Like I'm like too picky or like there's something wrong with me. Blah, blah, blah. And so I started off the week not feeling great.
Yeah.
And then kind of Tuesday, things started happening like were like little wins.
Yeah.
And I felt so much better.
Nice.
And so like I got UCB, for those who don't know, Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh, you did.
Is like coming back. And
okay.
I got my acceptance.
Awesome.
Which, to be honest, I went in being like, if they don't accept me, how dare they?
Do you know who I am?
Yeah. Do you know who I am? I do online content. And anyways.
Are you on as a writer, performer?
As a writer.
Okay, cool.
I only am returning as a writer. I'm not performing anymore. And so I got accepted and then I got my team and it was a bunch of my friends. And so like, the feeling of 2019 where I first got on the team started happening again, where it was like really fun. I mean, I know a lot of people didn't make it, so I also am aware of like how lucky I am to have made it again, but it was just like really a nice little win.
That's awesome.
And then my friend invited me to Global Citizens, like a VIP ticket today.
What?
It's raining so hard. It's going to be really cold. But I was like, oh my God, I have like connections, like people who do cool things, and I'm like getting invited to things. And then I got another piece in the New Yorker, like just like little wins were happening.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, maybe life isn't so bad. You know what I mean? Like maybe I'm not a total loser.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean, like up and up. Like these like little moments really made me feel better. I also had an introvert week and I realized that's like very necessary for me to feel good about myself, just to like be inside and process and like just have time to like have thoughts again and like nest a little bit. Mm. Like organize my place, my thoughts and things like that. So I think I've like had like a very quiet week and it's been very good for me. But it like started off low and then slowly being like, maybe I won't die alone.
I feel like anytime you get an acceptance or you know, something is getting published or something like that, it's just like those are so hard to do and it's, you know, that's it's, you guys, you got to celebrate those.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
It, you know?
And it, I think I was like, it all kind of happened at a time when I needed it.
Yeah.
So it felt more joy. Like, these are things I've already had. Mm. Like, I've been on a UCB team.
Yeah.
I've gotten stuff in the New Yorker, but I was like, I needed it this week.
Yeah.
Also, a listener sent like a very, very nice message, and I sent it to Mike, but it was just like a really kind, like, I will like support you, whatever you do, kind of message.
Yes.
And I was like, I think I responded, I was like, I needed it this week. Like, yeah. It was just like very, very kind. And so, yeah, I feel much better now than I did at the beginning of the week. And maybe I won't die alone. Fingers crossed.
You can die with your New York Times, New Yorker pieces all around you. We're gonna find your body with the magazine. We're gonna find Michelle with the wig.
Yeah,
it's gonna be what was up with this culture?
What the hell was happening in the 2020s?
They needed to be farming,
yeah.
And instead they're making content.
Yeah.
No wonder they all died. That's awesome.
So yeah, things turned around.
That's great.
Sometimes you just need it.
You definitely need it. You got to celebrate all those things, man.
Exactly.
It's so important.
So I'm not depressed, guys. We did it. Not
yet.
Not right now.
I like that you're the most happy during this rainstorm we're having.
I know. I'm also just having socialized, so I've been like...
My battery's
at full 100. I walked in like singing to Mike. Like
really
I'm like,
were.
I know. I'm like full. I'm at full potential.
You're like about
right
to go
now.
Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
It's really scary.
Holy crap. Yeah. Brimming. I love it. That's great. All right. How about Michelle? What kind of Asian are you?
Oh, man, I was like pondering this as both of you were chatting.
Yeah.
I feel like I was like two different kinds of Asian this week.
Okay.
You know, I was like PR girly opening an off-Broadway play early on the scene. But then I was also like Asian BB girl in the club kind of scene. So like I had,
you had a big week, I feel like.
Like there were, I feel like I've hit both ends of the spectrum this week.
Uh-huh.
I opened Job off Broadway on Monday night.
Congratulations.
And so we were at the club, at the bar.
After?
Yeah, after opening.
On Monday?
On Monday night.
Oh,
that's
my God.
New York. Like,
so New York. So like I was like out at like midnight on a Monday being so irresponsible, but actually it was work, you know? And then later in the week, I like went to the sound designers of the play. I'm friendly with them, and they're super cool people. And I went over to their place and made dumplings. So like that was, you know,
so
another
fun.
Like Asian activity, which is like really, really great and delicious. And they also know how to like vinyl DJ. So like this is where the journey this week of like Asian BB Girl Club starts.
Are these people also Asian?
One of them is. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But they're the super cool couple. They were co-sound designers on the play, which is how I know them. But like they are also very into music, and something that like I've been doing as a hobby and like trying to go more into is I'm looking into starting to like, you know, DJ and mess around.
Yes.
And I bought a DJ controller this week as well. Yeah, so very Asian, like BB girl on the club vibes.
I feel it's very Asian now to be like, I made dumplings and I DJ.
Both
those things.
Yeah, you know, just hitting all of the stereotypes in one go.
Absolutely.
So I was doing that, and then I went out on Thursday night to Public Records.
Yes.
Because they had like, I think it was like the upstairs restaurant at Public Records, they were having a dinner series there.
Oh, wow.
By an Asian chef. Mm-hmm. And like, it was this delicious lineup of Korean food. And then my friend who I went with, you know, we only got like a 9:45 reservation. So we like started eating dinner at like 10 p.m.
So European.
Yeah. Very European. And then we finished dinner. And then we like got outside and we were like, realized we weren't done hanging out with each other. But like, their Public Records is also a nightclub, and we looked at each other. We're like, "Do you want to like go to the club?"
Oh my god!
And so we like,
what time was this at?
This was like midnight.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
So we like went to the club next door at midnight. She had work the next morning, and then we were there until like we like closed the club down. We like were there until the lights came up.
Oh my god!
It was like 1:30, and I was like, oh, this is great. So went home, and then of course that takes us to Friday yesterday, where I had like my night vampire marathon, where I started the evening at Bar Jade out in Bushwick because my sister, who is also Asian, she DJs
and makes dumplings,
but she was DJing a set at Bar Jade, and of course I was like, I have to go see her.
Right.
And so I started my evening there at like 10:30, and then I went to Mood Ring right next to Bar Jade.
Ooh.
Another, you know, awesome.
It's like a quintessential Bushwick bar.
Quintessential Bushwick AAPI bar.
Okay.
Where they were celebrating their 6th anniversary.
Is it AAPI too?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Neo.
It was my first time there, but like you step in and you're like, I'm in a Wong Kar-wai movie.
Oh.
It's amazing. The vibes, immaculate. Immaculate vibes.
Immaculate
divine.
Vibes.
So I went there because one of my sweet, dear filmmaker friends, who is an incredible, cool human, I'm going to plug her, Emily Jample.
Uh-huh.
She was one of the hosts of their 6th anniversary. And so I told her, I was like, hey, I have this like crazy night planned, and I'm like right next to where you are at the bar. Would love to see you and say hi before I make my way to elsewhere later in the night. And she was like, oh my goodness, I'm gonna put you on the guest list. You should come, don't pay the cover. You are my guest for the evening. And so I went.
Amazing.
Elsewhere, for people who don't know, is a a venue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, my third venue of the evening.
Jeez,
that's wild.
Yeah, so I went to Mood Ring. It was so crowded, but like super cool. Had a great time. Caught up with my friend, and then I departed there around 1 a.m.
And I've been asleep for 3 hours at this point.
And then, you know, I haunted the streets, walked to elsewhere, which was like an hour walk.
Okay.
At like 1 in the morning.
Wild.
To
straight vampire shit.
Yeah. Like I'm saying, I was like keeping corpse hours this week. I got to elsewhere at like 1 o'clock, and I was there because I wanted to see Todd Terje play a DJ set. He was freaking incredible.
How much DJing do you go to? You've been to like 14 sets during the story.
Yeah.
You made so many dumplings and listened to so much DJing.
Everyone's DJing.
This is like not a typical week.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it just so happened that this was how the week panned out. But I was there bumping along to some music, and I was there until like 3:30. And then I went home and then ordered McDonald's.
Yes,
you should.
I was like,
because it's breakfast at this point.
Yeah.
So like me and my boyfriend, we were like sitting at home, and we had actually placed like an order for like, you know, burgers. But like I was like, okay, being a responsible frugal Asian.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm gonna actually make japchae first. So like I made noodles. I actually made
like
dinner.
At home?
Wow.
Yeah, at home. I mean, it was like the Trader Joe's like frozen japchae.
Yeah.
So it was fine. But like I had first round of dinner, and then he was like, oh, I'm gonna order McDonald's. And so we did, but his order got canceled because it transitioned from their night menu
to
their morning breakfast menu. And I was like, fuck. So we actually had our order canceled, and we looked at each other and we're like, are we gonna stay up and place another McDonald's?
Oh my god.
And
you didn't go to sleep?
I love it.
No.
He
started DJing.
I mean, the only thing I would stay awake for is McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah,
that is
okay,
the one thing that will keep me going.
That's the thing. Once the canceling happens, you're like, God is like, no, go to sleep.
Yeah, that's
dude.
True.
I'm literally going to change the McDonald's order
right,
on your ass.
Right. And so, like, we waited another extra 45 minutes.
Oh
for
God.
Our like McDonald's McGriddles to arrive.
Yeah.
And
what did you do in the meantime?
Just like scroll on my phone.
Yeah.
I think I sat on the couch with my eyes closed for like 20 minutes, just like bugging my boyfriend saying, is it here yet? Is it here yet? What's the status on this McDonald's order? And it arrived, and I had like the most blissful bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle sandwich at like 5:30 in the morning.
Oh my God.
And then I immediately did not brush my teeth, passed out.
Yeah, I went to the right
woke
to
up, came here.
Started DJing.
I can't believe you're here.
And then you're perfect, right on time for the DJ set. You're
yeah, I know.
Right now.
Yeah. So that's the kind of Asian.
I used to get TikToks that were like, it's an incredible week of music, another incredible week of music in New York. This place is playing at this venue. And they would say like a bunch of DJ names. And I would be like, this sounds like a joke to me, because I don't know any of the names. But you were just saying all that. I was like, it's not a joke. Yeah. Michelle's going to all those shows.
People are going to these, every single one of these. Yeah.
But it's amazing, because I'm like looking at their artistry. I'm like, you know, thinking about, okay, how are they, you know, amping up a crowd? What is their technique? Are they like building the energy first and then like starving out a crowd and then dropping it in? So like, I am there also like analyzing how they DJ.
Wow. You're really paying attention to the stuff that I am not noticing
that
at all.
I almost buy it. I don't do it. I don't buy it at all. You're just drunk.
It sounds like such a fun week.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah, I had a great week.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
I'd be exhausted.
How are you here?
Yeah.
You know, sheer will. Excitement. I'm so excited to be on the podcast.
Did you drink a lot?
No, I had like one tequila soda.
Yeah.
I did smoke a lot of weed. So,
you
I
know,
was like
I will say,
very
I think
high.
Sometimes I think that. You know, I know a lot of people, like, they smoke weed and they get sleepy.
Yeah.
I also stay up.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
If I'm also drinking. Which makes it bad, because then I'm like, it like reinforces.
Totally.
And then I'm like 9 drinks in and I'm, but I feel sober.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
Dude, I'm totally fine. Let's order McDonald's, you know? It'll be great. Let's DJ. You know, it'll be, I can see what you're saying.
Yeah. So like, you know, I got like total, I like haven't smoked a blunt and so
long. Smoked a blunt.
Wow.
Like, I was at Bar Jade. My sister was in between sets, and like some of her friends were like standing outside the bar and they're like smoking a joint. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to join the circle.
Yeah.
And like, you know, did a couple of passes. And I was like, oh my God, New York weed has gotten so strong. Like, I was like, on the verge of like, oh, I'm going home tonight.
Yeah.
Like, I like have to leave.
Yeah. That's where I go. I'm like, I just want to be on my couch.
Well, you got to ride
hot Cheetos.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to ride the wave.
You got
to
ride out the first, I would say, 15 to 20 minutes.
Yes.
And even if that means just, I don't know, like handcuffing yourself to something so you don't
totally
leave.
Totally.
Because if you give in, for sure you're gonna go home.
That's me.
Exactly.
Yeah. I give
and
in
like,
every time.
My only saving grace is because my sweet boyfriend, he like came out and was along the ride for like every single one of these points of interest.
Yeah.
And he's like not a night person like I am. He is, but in a different way. Like, he'll end up playing video games until like 3 a.m. At home,
right.
Cozy. I'm like, I'm gonna go out,
yeah.
You know? And so he was like, okay, I'll have like a drink, 2 drinks, but he like didn't smoke. So I was like so grateful, because I was like clutching his arm.
And I was like,
John, I am so high right now, just so you know. But it was great. No, the evening went like so well, splendid. And I did not have a freak out. So
I love
end
not
night
freaking
great.
Out.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
With
good.
McDonald's.
The freak out is always, you got to avoid the freak out.
Yeah. Right.
That's good. That's
amazing.
I love it. Okay. So the question to steer us back into us is kind of the work you do is, if Jenny and I were characters in Nora from Queens, what would our costumes say about us?
Oh my
God. Imagine we walk in there and I'm just like, shut up, Nora. I don't know. You know?
We both come in, we go, shut up, Nora.
Shut up, Nora. And then we go sit down in the corner. What's the character?
So like,
what is
you're,
our costume?
You're asking me, you know, like if you were as you're dressed right now.
As we were dressed right now, which, okay, we should describe that.
And I also want to make it clear that I don't dress like this. Always.
No, yeah. But
kind of,
I do. Yeah, I don't know.
But it's not most, I'm dressed very casual because I'm going to be outside.
You are dressed casual to wear, but I would say this is a very Jenny shirt.
It is a Jenny shirt.
What would you describe this as?
Okay,
for
so
our
I'm
listeners?
Wearing a long sleeve neon shirt with Heat Tech underneath. And then like.
That's very Asian.
Yeah, and then dark jeans and my Blundstones.
Yeah, and it's a long sleeve kind of like, what would you say, knitted, stretchy shirt with
like frills.
Frilly neck and.
Yeah. It's like a ribbed.
Ribbed.
A ribbed shirt with like a pearl stitch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, okay. Kind
ooh.
Of
okay.
Professional.
With the technical,
pearl stitch. I was like, I know what a pearl stitch is for sure.
Yeah,
I love
you go.
A pearl stitch.
I'm wearing double denim on top, denim on bottom, classic Mike outfit with my Drake's fleece and my, what hat am I wearing?
Polo hat
with a little bear on it.
And a blazer.
And I got my blazer, which I took off because it's too hot.
Yeah.
And I have, well, you guys can't see
sneaks.
This.
Sneaks. Solomon's.
I have my Salomon Gore-Tex. On. Okay.
Those are cool.
Go.
Okay, so if the both of you were Nora from Queens, mm-hmm. I'll start with you first.
Okay.
I feel like...
I'm nervous.
No, don't be nervous. I mean, I feel like my read on this character, you would probably be someone who's like preppy, who's walking into the bodega.
Yeah,
but like you'd probably know Teddy. Teddy is the character that starts out as like Nora's neighbor. Where like he's the guy who like goes to Yale.
Yeah.
And so you would probably like be in the same circle as that character. Coming into like, I don't know, buy a pack of gum and like a coffee.
Yeah.
You know?
There you go.
So that's who I feel like.
Yeah,
your
Teddy
character.
And I go way back. Dude.
Yeah,
we were,
yeah.
We were in, rowing together.
Exactly. Yeah. You were on the water.
We're on the water all the time. Yeah,
that is accurate.
And then for you, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I'm like taking a second because you could be like in, honestly, in a club episode. Like this shirt does, like the kind of color it is, it does give like very, you know, very cool.
Wow.
But, like you look cool, but like you're not trying hard.
Oh my god.
You know?
Thank
and
you.
So like you look like you might be in one of the episodes where like she I'm thinking about the one where she's like dressed up as like Cameron Diaz and like she's like going to the club and like around town.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
You see like all the other patrons like around the bar and stuff like that.
Oh my
god. Yeah. I mean I do feel like these characters are very real. I can totally see both of you in the show.
We're
dressed
gonna be in the
as
next
you
season,
are.
Baby.
Yeah, even though the show is over,
yeah,
we are gonna make it. We're
just
gonna
in
make
time.
It in. Just in time.
Just in time. Yeah, I like the out. The last question you had too, as we kind of.
My question about how can we be cooler?
Yeah. What's the next? Like, what's the cool? You know.
How can we, the two of
okay.
us, personally be cooler?
We're standing
cooler.
Outside. Is Elsewhere the place where they won't let you in sometimes if you're not like don't look like you?
I don't know. Every time I've been there, it's been for like a concert, so I'm like
you in.
I'm let in because I've bought tickets.
Let's say I had to go to Elsewhere. All right, I just came from the Yale Club. Okay,
yeah, classic.
You know,
that's so just, Mike.
I'm always hanging
He's
out
always
the Yale
at
Club,
the Yale Club,
reading in that big room with the newspapers. I'm always reading the newspaper.
Yeah,
Wall Street Journal in hand.
In hand, and I'm like.
Yeah.
You know, this place is up and coming. I'm on the way. All right, I'm trying to go to Elsewhere to listen to this DJ. Okay, what is like something I could throw on that would like they would be like, okay, now I'm a little bit more, you know, I could be kind of incognito in Bushwick.
So Elsewhere is an interesting like. Club space because the crowd is so varied.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe it's occupational hazard, but I'm always looking at people and you know, the crowds of people who like how they dress,
right.
who they associate with. And Elsewhere is interesting because like you do get like your clubby finance bros who are in their button downs and like
oh
a tropical
God.
Print
so
t-shirt because
yes.
that's the most fun Bonobo shirt they had in their closet.
So
you didn't just pull
up
Bonobos. I used to work there. Oh my God. You got me though.
Oh, shit.
You got me.
Yeah.
What am I wearing under my shirt?
Oh,
Bonobo.
Shit.
Love
so
it.
So real.
Hit me.
Sorry
that's
to drag
real.
You.
No, please.
So like you might be one of those people, which is fine.
Gaily.
You know?
Gaily.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And so I definitely see people like that at Elsewhere.
Yeah.
But then I also see like, you know, the grungy hipsters who are like, they brought a hula hoop to the club. So Elsewhere is very interesting because like
I didn't see that accessory, okay? I was like, oh, Mike, why don't you go throw on some pearl, you know, a pearl necklace or whatever, right? No, fucking hula hoop.
I just love the idea of, like, being in line to get into a club, and it's, like, a guy just, like, holding a hula hoop.
Right.
He's just like, yeah, can I see your ID?
Yeah, he's at Chick-fil-A. He's like, oh, I gotta get some dinner. Before I got the
he's carrying
hula hoop
a hula hoop.
Hey,
yeah,
hula
so, like, the crowd is so varied.
He's at CVS
you
trying
know?
To get
yeah.
in. Okay.
So like you would make it in,
okay.
dressed how you're dressed, okay. and I know before you're mentioning like oh is that the club that would turn you away? The one that I think of is Basement,
maybe
which
that's
is like
the one I'm
right
of.
Underneath the Knockdown Center in Queens, and they are like the Berlin themed techno club.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah, and like I'm sorry, but you would definitely get turned away at the door.
What do you
of
have
basement.
To look like?
That's okay.
Wear
you have
leather?
To look like a vampire. you know?
Well, that's like, simply why I can't do that.
I feel that, yeah, like, if I wanted to get into basement, I would watch... Are you familiar with the movie Blade?
Yeah.
Yes.
He would dress like Blade.
You know the opening scene where he's like, and he's like,
motherfucker's always trying to ice skate uphill.
You know, like, I would have the leather blazer. I would have the sword sticking out of my back.
Yep.
And it would be functioning.
Uh-huh.
And they'd be like, the basement guy would be like, "Unt, who are you?" And I'm like, "I'm motherfucking Blade." And they're like, "Ooh, welcome in then." And like, that's what's up.
Exactly.
And I would get in. I guess it's in Ridgewood.
It's, yeah, like Ridgewood / Maspeth, but like, you know, you would also have to keep your sunglasses on.
Yes, the whole time.
They never come off.
Literally,
I would be the person who like can't see anything. I'm just like running into walls because I have my sunglasses on.
You're trying to be super cool.
Yeah, I'm just trying to fit in. Like, how? Yes. Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, so that you would get into elsewhere. Totally
yeah.
fine.
No, yeah.
Totally
no issue.
Yeah. I have been to Knockdown Center before.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there it's a venue, so just you know everybody can go in there. I found the one place to sit down, which was fire. Me and the other parents were sitting there, and as I was waiting to see, what's her name? She's like a very cool Korean singer. She's
okay.
Pretty young too.
I don't know.
Oh, dang it. Anyways,
that's cool.
She went on so late.
Yeah.
So late, and
what's late? Oh, yeah. Because Michelle's night started at 10:30.
We did the thing where we watched two of her songs and left. I think she went on at like 12:30.
Oh my God, that's so late.
Yeah.
For me, that's unbelievable.
I thought it was late just because it was like a Thursday. It was,
okay.
You know, and
yeah.
It was an all ages show. And yeah. I was like, there's no way they're going to let this all ages show go into 12. Anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. But vampire next time. Full vampire.
Yeah.
God,
then you'd have no
shopping.
Issue.
Have you been to this place, Basement?
I have not been to Basement, yeah. But I want to. So it's on my list of clubs
yeah.
that I'm trying to traverse.
Yes.
Are you
I think you could do it watching your week. I think yeah.
Are you
I
going
do
to
it.
Go vampire?
Yeah, definitely.
What's the vamp? Have you picked it out in your mind?
You know, I don't have an outfit yet, but there's probably leather involved.
Yeah.
Definitely like some sort of corset.
Yeah.
Maybe some like platform shoes, jewelry. Yeah.
I don't doubt that you can pull it together.
I think you could totally do it. I feel my wife could get in.
Yeah.
You know? Gina has pretty good.
Gina has really good style.
Good style, and I think she could really like turn up the vampire
yeah.
if she really wanted
I
to.
I could see that.
And then I'm like,
you can't.
No, you know what I am? You know what I am? I would have to be, you know how vampires have familiars?
Yes.
Oh,
you would
my
be
God.
The familiar.
Yeah.
You would
I'm
be the familiar.
Like
you know who's like, he's like, please, master.
Yeah.
I will do whatever you
literally,
want.
Literally, yeah.
Just turn me into a vampire
yeah.
one day.
100%.
You know, but I've got to go back to my day job at Ernst & Young
yeah.
after this. Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That. Wow.
That's your character. We
that
figured
is your
it
character.
Out.
That's what's
you're
up.
A familiar.
I'm a familiar.
You're Guillermo.
I'm Guillermo.
This is from What We
Queen.
Do in the Shadows.
Yes.
Everyone should watch fantastic show.
Crossover episode
oh, wait.
With Nora.
It's a strike. Don't watch it.
Don't watch
it.
Forget
don't
we're talking about
watch
it.
Television.
Don't
ever
about it.
Watch
no,
it.
Never watch television.
Don't watch television.
No, just go out there and get a familiar, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I think that was... Anything else? We're at an hour.
Oh.
How do we feel?
I feel good.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Yeah,
we can talk about your topics.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about one of your topics?
Sure. We're going to cut this.
We'll cut this part.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
ADHD?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. During our sort of like pre-production emailing back and forth, you were talking about you got recently diagnosed?
Yeah, I got diagnosed in January.
With ADHD.
ADHD.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
Whoa.
And how has that impacted or changed the way you work?
It has been... life transforming.
Okay.
Just having this information. And like, actually, I started looking into it because my older sister got diagnosed with ADHD last year. And I was curious because it's also genetic.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember this was also around the time when Everything Everywhere All at Once came out.
Yeah.
And Daniel, one of the directors, the Asian one.
Yeah.
He was talking about how he had got diagnosed with ADHD.
Okay.
And like how the character that Michelle Yeoh plays, like it's supposed to be indicative of like her having ADHD and like what
Whoa.
That character is going through with ADHD.
Okay.
And like, I was listening to a segment about how Daniel discovered that he had ADHD in the research process for creating her character. And he was like, oh, shit, I think I have ADHD.
Wow.
And so I was like, you know, it was kind of floating around. And like my sister and I were like comparing, contrasting. And I was like, huh, you have a lot of things that you do that I also do. I think maybe I should get this checked out. And so like I got evaluated and it turns out I definitely have ADHD, although I think it's like a blend between inattentive and hyperactive.
Okay.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
What are the markers, I guess?
Yeah. So like prior to getting diagnosed, I feel like I'm a really high functioning person with ADHD. Like I was a straight A student, never had to worry about grades, loved working, but I like came to later realize that's like part of the hyperfixation of ADHD, of like basically what happens is your brain doesn't have enough dopamine in it. And so like you are constantly searching for like, I'm gonna smash dopamine button now, and like searching for novelty. And so like you're picking up new hobbies, you're learning new information or things that like make you feel joy, essentially. And so I have always had like a lot of trouble maintaining or like working on the same project for like super long stretches of time.
Yeah.
And that's why like, you know, working in entertainment is perfect. And it turns out as I was doing more and more research, people who don't know they have ADHD or like are not diagnosed, they often find themselves in professions that are very high stress. So like people who work in entertainment, in film, in the ER, in hospitals, driving ambulances, all like have higher percentages of ADHD.
What?
Because what happens is when your body produces adrenaline and like stress hormones, chemically speaking, the structure is very similar to the structures of like ADHD medication. And so like your body is like self-medicating itself with dopamine and
like stress and stuff.
Stress and like adrenaline to keep you functioning.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense that like my life seems to be like going pretty well when I'm working, but then like as soon as I have some free time to myself, I'm like crumbling. So like that's a pattern that happens if you have ADHD.
Interesting.
Inattentiveness. Forgetfulness, like always forgetting like where I put my phone or like having to write down notes, interrupting conversations, things like that are like all ADHD traits.
Wow. So knowing that you have ADHD has helped you like be like, oh, this is just like normal, or how has it?
Yeah, it's been great because you're like able to separate what is your ADHD versus like your person.
Got it.
Right. And so like I remember the first day I started medication, I'm on a non-stimulant called Strattera, and it's been great because it like normally a lot of people struggle with like stimulant based medications because you have like a dopamine crash, and so you get like irritable because like the release of the medication is not as long. And so I don't have that because mine like works theoretically for like 24 hours at a time. And so I actually found like after getting medicated, the biggest thing that changed is it got rid of all my anxiety as a side effect.
Oh really?
My God.
Yeah. Like, I don't have anxiety anymore.
What the hell?
I've never met anyone who has ever said that.
Okay, I know. That's crazy. I know. And so it's that has been great. I've gotten a little messier because of that. I'm like, I'll do the dishes tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to leave these dishes in the sink. And so, like, it's been a great life quality improvement. And
that's
I just
great.
Feel like for the first time also, I'm able to think in a linear thought. Like, I'm able to finish one thought, choose what I'm deciding to say next. And like before, it was like six radio stations were full volume at like all times, and then being able to just like tune all of them down and then like choose which radio station I'm gonna listen to is like been helpful to my life.
That's awesome.
Whoa. I wonder if there's a lot of Asian people with undiagnosed
I could see that
ADHD.
yeah,
you know, because I feel we definitely are. I mean, I feel like a lot of us are so busy, it would be hard to notice. You know what I'm saying? Because you're like, I'm already so inundated, I can't like process that I'm like, maybe I have some sort of thing I need to like work.
Totally. And I also think like, you know, the whole like mental stigma that Asian culture also brings of like seeing somebody to like discuss your issues or like see if you have something else you're dealing with definitely ties into that.
Yeah. Right.
And I think like for me, what has helped me cope for so long not knowing I've had it is because I was like a high achieving Asian
person.
And like hyperfixation where I'm like able to just slip into a flow state and like work for like 12 hours straight, which is also a part of ADHD. Like I could like sit down in front of a computer and like just like work for like 12 hours straight.
Wow.
Like that also gets masked because you're like, you know, doing well as
a productive.
Exactly. Right. You're a hardworking Asian person.
Oh. Dang.
That's real. And also I feel like parents would not be like, I don't think a lot of our parents would be like, yeah, that's a valid thing. Go check out if you have ADHD.
Yeah,
right. Like, well, just focus.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe the Asian parents would want you to have ADHD so you could stay focused, hyper-focused for 12 hours.
Yeah.
But then, like, on the other side of the coin, it's like you also, if it's not catching your attention, you're not paying attention. You know, like,
yes.
I remember the first day I started medication, my partner was trying to explain some video game like button mashing mechanic of Dark Souls to me. And I like asked him to slow down because he was talking so fast. I couldn't keep up with what he was saying. And like he like looked aghast because he was saying, wait, you're listening? Like you're following my words right now? And I was like, oh shit, I haven't been listening to you. Fuck. So like not being able to hear like what is being said to you because you're thinking about other thoughts is also a very ADHD trait.
Wow. Hey, maybe I got ADHD.
I don't think
that happens to me. Some of the things. The hyper focus thing. I'm pretty unfocused, but maybe that's it also. I have
no idea. Well, there are different types.
Right.
Oh.
ADHD. So like also being unfocused is also an ADHD symptom.
Yeah.
Are you trying to decide if you have it or not?
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
What are you doing?
No, I just, yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, at the very, okay. So the bottom line is you went and you got evaluated. For
yes.
Us. Okay.
Yes.
And it has
been a great life improvement.
That's wonderful. I think that's the key thing.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Your life
and like
improved.
I was listening to this one podcast that I love called Ologies, and they had like a ADHD expert as like their guest for this segment, and he was saying like, for ADHD in treatment, the first line of treatment should be medication.
Oh,
because like if a diabetic came to you, you wouldn't turn them away and say, oh, you shouldn't try insulin first.
Right.
You know, like it, like he approaches it the same way where it's like ADHD is a chemical alteration where like you're missing, you know, dopamine or you're missing norepinephrine. And so like, why wouldn't you course correct that? Because your body needs it.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's been helpful.
That's amazing.
Okay. All right. Well, go get evaluated, everybody.
Yeah. Everyone get evaluated now.
Go right now. And then I'll meet you at the basement.
Elsewhere. Oh, yeah. You're going to go to basement.
We're going to basement.
I'll go to elsewhere.
Yeah.
I think you'd make it into basement.
Yeah. See?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Then I'll see you at basement.
And I'll be outside because Master told me to.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting here. I'll be getting you McDonald's.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast.
This is so great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And I had so much fun.
Yeah. This was really cool. Where can our fans find you and what you do?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram, Michelle JXLI. The JX stands for my Chinese name. Joshing is my Chinese name.
There you go.
So yeah, Michelle JXLI on Instagram. That's where you can find me.
Amazing. And you can find us on Instagram at Asian.AsianPod. You can find me there. On Instagram at Nice Pants Bro.
I'm at Jenny Arimoto.
And we'll see you. I'm not sure. Might have to cut this part out. But we'll be at Mid-Autumn Festival. September 30th. Just Google New York City Mid-Autumn Fest. And otherwise, of course, there are Hack City Show. That's the second Friday of every month. And it'll be awesome. Please, please come see us and hang out.
Come hang out.
Yeah. And in the meantime, thank you again, Michelle.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. This has been a highlight.
So fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.